The Path of Daggers by Robert Jordan. Copyright 1998 by Robert Jordan. This book is read by Kate Redding and Michael Kramer. Who would sup with the mighty must climb the path of daggers. Anonymous notation found inked in the margin of a manuscript history believed to date to the time of Arthur Hawkwing, of the last days of the Tovan conclaves. On the heights, all paths are paved with daggers. Old Shanchan saying. Prologue. Deceptive appearances. Etheniel had seen mountains lower than these misnamed black hills, great lopsided heaps of half-buried boulders webbed with steep, twisting passes. A number of those passes would have given a goat pause. You could travel 3 days through drought-withered forests and brown-grassed meadows without seeing a single sign of human habitation, then suddenly find yourself within half a day of 7 or 8 tiny villages, all ignorant of the world. The Black Hills were a rugged place for farmers, away from the trade routes, and harsher now than usual. A gaunt leopard that should have vanished at the sight of men watched from a steep slope not 40 paces away as she rode past with her armored escort. Westward, vultures wheeled patient circles like an omen. Not a cloud marred the blood-red sun, yet there were clouds of a sort. When the warm wind blew, it raised walls of dust. With 50 of her best men at her heels, Etheniel rode unconcernedly and unhurriedly. Unlike her near-legendary ancestor, Surasa, she had no illusion that the weather would heed her wishes just because she held the throne of the clouds. While, as for haste, their carefully coded, closely guarded letters had agreed on the order of march, and that had been determined by each person's need to travel without attracting notice. Not an easy task. Some had thought it impossible. Frowning, she considered the luck that had let her come this far without having to kill anyone, avoiding those fly-speck villages even when it meant days added to the journey. The few Ogier steading presented no problem. Ogier paid little heed to what happened among humans, most times, and less than usual of late, it seemed. But the villages. They were too small to hold eyes and ears for the White Tower, or for this fellow who claimed to be the Dragon Reborn. Perhaps he was. She could not decide which way would be worse. Too small, yet peddlers did pass through eventually. Peddlers carried as much gossip as trade goods, and they spoke to people who spoke to other people, rumor flowing like an ever-branching river through the Black Hills and into the world outside. With a few words, a single shepherd who had escaped notice could light a signal fire seen 500 leagues off, the sort of signal fire that set woods and grasslands aflame, and cities, maybe, nations. Did I make the right choice, Sarila? Vexed at herself, Etheniel grimaced. She might not be a girl any longer, but her few gray hairs hardly counted her old enough to let her mindless tongue flap in the breeze. The decision was made. It had been on her mind, though. Light's truth, she was not so unconcerned as she wanted to be. Etheniel's first counselor heeled her dun mare closer to the queen's sleek black gelding. Round face placid, dark eyes considering, Lady Sarila could have been a farm wife suddenly stuck into a noblewoman's riding dress, but the mind behind those plain, sweaty features was as sharp as any eyes said eyes. The other choices only carried different risks, not lesser, she said smoothly. Stout, yet as graceful in her saddle as she was at dancing, Sarila was always smooth. Not oily or false, just completely unflappable. Whatever the truth, Majesty, the White Tower appears to be paralyzed as well as shattered. You could have sat watching the blight while the world crumbled behind you. You could have, if you were someone else. The simple need to act. Was that what had brought her here? Well, if the White Tower would not or could not do what had to be done, then someone must.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?